Research has shown there is a clear connection between our gut health and our mental health. The bacteria in your gut may affect your anxiety, your mood, and depression. So, what can we do to improve our gut microbiome and ultimately boost our mental health? Welcome to the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast, bringing you the secrets to burning bright, not out in business. I'm your host, Belinda Hite, best known as Bindi, Creative Communications Director for Hot and Healthy in Business. Join me for courageous conversations with experts, thought leaders, and business owners about smart, practical strategies for women in small business. Alexandra Brewster is the principal naturopath at Healing Hands Natural Health Centre in Ipswich, Queensland. She spent 25 years as a registered nurse and midwife, working in diverse fields such as general surgery, obstetrics, gynecology, well baby clinic, maternity, and as a school nurse at a private grammar school. She's a naturopath, nutritionist, Western herbalist, Institute of Functional Medicine candidate, and joins us on the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast as our in-house natural health advisor. Welcome, Alex, to the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Bindi. How are you?
I am well.
Wonderful.
Now, today, one of your favourite subjects and mine, gut-brain connection and the health of both and how they're connected.
This is a big one.
It is fascinating.
And I don't even know how I'm going to explain it. Just saying, we might be getting some round and round discussion here today.
Right. So can you tell us a bit about how there's a two-way communication between the gut and the brain through the nervous system?
Shall we start at point of conception? That's always a good point to start.
Yes, we've done this one before, but yes, please go.
Shall I do that?
Yes.
Yeah. So when we first conceived, when we're first an embryo, there's only three layers to us. There's an endoderm, a mesoderm, an ectoderm. And I think it's the endoderm. You think I would have looked it up by now, but I never do. But one of them, I think it's the endoderm, actually only develops into two body systems.
Mm.
One's the gut and one's the CNS, the central nervous system, which includes the brain. And I remember when I was learning about this as a pupil midwife, I thought, how's that? Why is that gut? And then I didn't think about anything anymore. But now, of course, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's actually connected at birth.
At conception.
Of course, there's something called the enteric nervous system, which is the nervous system behind the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And they say there's actually more nerve endings in that enteric nervous system than there are in our brain.
Wow.
So that's another one.
Yeah.
There's also something called the vagus nerve, and you've heard me say this before.
Yeah.
And I think I've told this anecdote before. Years ago, I was listening to the likes of Alessio Fasano talk. He was presenting his research on the gluten conniption or connection with leaky gut. And the guy's amazing. He's Italian, so he has an Italian accent and he likes to make jokes. He's really cute. Anyway, so basically he was saying about, and of course we know what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. Ha 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 ha. And I'm going, what the flip's got that? And, of course, he was talking about the vagus nerve. But, of course, because he researched it and stuff, it took me about, like, a minute, and then I was your classic delayed. That is so funny. But anyway, so it is – so the vagus nerve actually is the direct connection between the – I did write something about this. I might open up my little computer. The direct connection between the gut and the brain. And what they've actually discovered, and this is research November 9, 2018, last year, they've actually found that if we have, because we know we've got 10 to the power of 14 of microorganisms living in our gut, right? So the power of 14 just basically stands for 14 zeros. So how many trillions is that? We just talked about that last podcast. I just started my head in. I don't know. It's just lots.
Too many
it's a
zeros.
Shitload, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, so basically they've actually found the actual microorganisms from our gut in the cerebral spinal fluid around the brain. Not their genetic expressions, not the proteins that they talk to, but the actual microorganisms. So the brain has its own microbiome and it is directly linked to the gut microbiome because we've got microbiome everywhere, right?
Right.
So basically a microbiome is just the microorganisms that live in on us and there's 10 to the power of 14, shitloads. So basically, we've got that everywhere. Like when I was midwifing, we were told the babies were born spit sterile. No, that was BS. Basically, babies have their own microbiome, and this whole new, watch this space, we might do a podcast on that one, on endometriosis being a disruption of the uterine microbiome. Brand new research presented by Dr. Cara Fitzgerald last weekend. So basic to us, it's probably not new to her, but it was new to me. So basically this vagus nerve is the way they postulate. This is what it kind of does my head in. How do we ride on a nerve? But there's something to do with the lymphatics as well.
Yeah.
So basically this is the way that the actual dysbiotic bacteria are migrating up to the brain. So Brandon Bock was giving us a lecture on this a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that they all like to head north because north they've got no competition. Because down in the gut there's lots of, you know, we've got 80% of our immune system sits there. We know that we've got other bacteria in direct competition, and it's just a complete bun fight down there.
Yeah.
But up in the brain there's nothing. So that's where they all head.
Wow.
Okay. Besides the fact that when we eat the rainbow,
yes,
we're increasing the diversity of our gut microbiome, and it's all about the diversity.
Yeah.
Because the more diverse we have microorganisms, good guys, the healthier we are. And one of the things that happens when we eat the rainbow, we're feeding this diversity of microorganisms, which are putting out up to 95% of our feel-good neurotransmitters.
Yeah.
Our GABA, which is our chill-out, anti-anxiety. Our serotonin, which is our seeing the joy in the daisy.
Yeah.
Our serotonin. What's the other one? Our GABA, serotonin, dopamine, which is the one that keeps us satisfied and happy.
Mm.
95% of those, the neurotransmitters, and probably more, are made in the gut. So if, wouldn't you think, and that's probably going up via the vagus nerve, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's why we've got the vagus nerve there to start with.
Mm.
I made that up. I would imagine that's pretty, there's research there somewhere. Wouldn't you think if we didn't have the right guys, and talking about last one, we were talking about there's some microorganisms in the gut and they make too much estrogen.
Yeah.
That we feel a bit shit.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's one connection.
Yeah. So I know I've noticed the difference in eating the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just feel better, like generally as a human.
And we're not talking Skittles, ladies.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, visually it's appealing.
Oh,
it's
I
more
know.
Appetizing. It's
you Why feel is better. It when we eat the rainbow we have to take a photo?
I know, right?
It's like, oh, my God, I got to take a photo of this.
You should see my Insta. It's full of eating
rainbow.
Yeah,
me too, right?
So the gut microbiome and how it impacts our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at things like depression, stress, anxiety, getting it right in the gut can get it right in the head.
It's a no-brainer, or should we say a no-gutter? Sorry. That is a really bad dad joke. Sorry. Absolutely. Well, let's talk depression, Bindi. And I love the way you always keep me on track because I would be everywhere like a mad woman's breakfast. So basically, serotonin is probably the key neurotransmitter. Or don't forget, it's a hormone, which is a chemical messenger. It's just that the brain guys got to it first and called it a neurotransmitter.
Yes.
Basically, serotonin is the way your body says, I am happy.
Mm.
Oh, look, there's a joy in a daisy. Mm. I can see the lovely bright sunny day instead of going, oh, God, they're bloody dandelions, they're all weeds, they're all over my – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So 95% is made by good guys in the gut. And if you look at the drugs they use to treat depression, and, you know, I tell patients to go and get antidepressants. Isn't, you know, sometimes that's what they need.
Yeah.
A lot of them are called SSRI. Have you heard of that term?
Yeah, I have.
That stands for Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does that mean? Well, that basically means at the synapses, which is the nerve highways, they've got junctions, like the little roundabouts I had to come in to come to this studio.
Yep.
And there's little that's where the neurotransmitters actually have to make that connection between the little micro connection between the two roundabouts, right?
Yeah.
So basically the SSRIs and then they get off and they get processed by our bodies,
mm-hmm.
right? So the SSRIs just reuse old serotonin,
mm-hmm.
keep it from leaching out of our brain.
Yeah.
So that's what SSRI does. So it doesn't actually, make help our body make more serotonin.
Yeah.
Because we can't actually do it very well. We need gut bacteria.
Yeah.
It just uses the old stuff.
Right.
So wouldn't it be a little bit better if we could make nice new fresh stuff all the time?
Yeah.
Get on board these little helpers.
Yeah.
That are helping us.
Totally.
Hmm.
So I did a bit of research myself.
Thank you.
You know, you're usually good at homework, but things like irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes.
So let's flip it here. There's some research that shows that people who have IBS tend to have high levels of anxiety.
Absolutely.
So
does it kind of make sense of what we were talking about?
Yeah.
So what is IBS? So IBS, and there is an ad on television that says clinically diagnosed IBS. So people come in and see me and they say, I've got IBS. And I says, do you know what that is? Oh, yeah, it's irritable bowel syndrome. And I said, great, it's not a disease.
Mm.
It's a symptom. Mm-hmm. It's a symptom of leaky gut.
Yeah.
Irritable bowel syndrome is basically, we know IBS, you can have diarrhea, you can have constipation, you can get bellyache, you can whatever. It's actually just a sign that you've got leaky gut syndrome.
Mm.
And what's leaky gut syndrome is when you've lost the dynamics of that tight gap junction phase, that one cell difference between the gut lumen and your inside body, and you get inflammation.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then that means you haven't got the right mix between the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm.
So you don't have the right mix between the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've got too many bad guys telling all the wrong messengers going up your vagal nerve.
Yeah.
And not enough good guys saying, oh, here is your serotonin, here is your GABA.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that's going to cause... You're feeling pretty flat,
yeah,
and anxious, GABA. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I heard the professor talk the other day. I loved his analogy. Can I share it with you?
Sure.
So GABA is the James Taylor of our body. You've got a friend. And glutamate, which we can make from GABA if we don't have enough B vitamins,
yeah.
Think eat the rainbow, B6, yes. Is the Jimi Hendrix. So that's why we're anxious and tense and whatever and whatever. And we've got to have more James Taylors.
More James Taylor.
More James Taylor.
Right.
For you young people, just look that up.
Yeah. It's all about the music.
Yes.
So looking at our gut health then with other mental health conditions like bipolar,
mm-hmm.
more serious stuff like schizophrenia and other psychological disorders, how can we, you know, do more with our gut health to deal with this naturally instead of needing, you know, pretty heavy chemicals to balance that out?
Disclaimer, sometimes we need pretty heavy chemicals.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just if you're going to survive, but it doesn't mean it has to always be that way.
Yeah.
Please do not stop your medication.
Yeah.
Right? But again, it's usually you know, I always say mental health is not a flaw of character, it's a flaw of chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody who, a friend of mine, and we've got a mutual friend, and they're having an awful time at present. And it's interesting, so their mental health has come quite on the back of a long-term medical problem they had.
Yeah.
And when they had the medical problem, everyone is really helpful and stuff, and now they've developed this mental health problem, everyone's saying, oh, my God, they're just hysterical. It's actually a problem with the brain. It's a chemical problem with the brain, which is linked to the gut.
Mm.
So the schizophrenia is the same. They're saying it's something to do with the GABA receptors, actually. Yep. It's too many Jimi Hendrix in their brain.
Right.
It's too much glutamate. So what if we added some B6?
Yeah.
And we could turn the Jimi Hendrixes into the James Taylors.
Yeah.
Do you think they might stop having so many hallucinations?
Yeah.
And the beauty of this is we can do this alongside, this has got nothing to do with the gut. Well, it does, but, you know, not indirectly, everything's got to do with the gut.
Mm.
We could do this alongside their medication.
Yeah. And then they could eventually wean off.
Yeah. And bipolar, again, it's a genetic, it can be a genetic thing, but so what's pulling the trigger for that gun? That's bipolar. And, of course, you know, imbalances in the gut can cause inflammation.
Mm.
And they know bipolar is, you know, there's lots of things with bipolar. I'm not a psychiatrist, but it's an inflammatory disorder.
Mm.
So what happens if, you know, you've got two tennis courts worth, our listeners know now that, you know, we've got two tennis courts of gut surface for most people. What happens if we've got two tennis courts of micro-inflammation?
Wow.
And we've got the propensity for bipolar? And, you know, we all of a sudden we're stressed and our adrenals are going, meh. Do you think that might trigger an attack?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so decreasing the inflammation can make the difference. Bipolar has got, they do have mineral deficiencies as well.
Yeah. It just makes me wonder, like, you know, how many lives could be saved and...
Or just it's how many people who aren't living their best lives, exactly. Right, Bindi?
Yeah.
This makes me so sad. And with our thyroid talk, I was saying that you, anyone who's been diagnosed to come, because mental health is a big thing. I do a lot of mental health and it's always to do with the gut health. Get your thyroids checked.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't even bother anymore. And God bless, it's not the doctor's fault because they're snaffled by our system.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think I'd be a bit arced up if the naturopath came and said, oh, you must do this test. So I just say to anyone who's got a mental, and it's hard because oftentimes when people with mental health issues are on pensions, I say, we've got to get this full thyroid panel done.
Yeah.
We've got to see what's going on with your thyroid. Mm. Is there a Hashimoto's problem? Because that could be the root of it. I know it's got nothing to do with the gut. But, well, it does, but, you know, it is. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It does break my heart.
And there's such, well, relatively simple solutions. It's quite sad. So talking about some solutions for our gut, and I think we may have touched on these previously, but we'll go into a little bit more depth around prebiotics and probiotics.
Right. Well, you know, there's a whole chain of research being done by a woman. She's actually a Brisbane lady called Professor Christine Horton, and she's going to turn it all on its head.
Yeah?
Yes. So prebiotics
are
the foods that feed the probiotics, and the probiotics are just bacteria that live in our gut.
Yep.
All right. So biotic, life, pro, for life, pre before life, I guess.
Yep.
So if you think of our gut as the soil, a prebiotic's the compost.
Gotcha.
And the probiotic are the seeds we put in it.
Yeah.
But our gut is a jungle or a rainforest, right? So when we take a probiotic, we're putting in a tomato seed here and a cucumber seed here.
Right.
What about the understory, the midstory and the canopy? So the research is suggesting that by putting in probiotic and then putting the compost, the prebiotic, we encourage the understory to grow and then the canopy develops.
Yeah.
But Christine Horton's suggesting, and, you know, there's also research to show that when we take a probiotic, it doesn't actually seed. It's transient and it encourages the growth of what's already there.
Gotcha.
So Christine Horton's idea is, why use probiotic at all? And she's actually was cited as a paper to say that, now, don't try this at home, but when we have antibiotics and we actually take probiotics, it actually disrupts our microbiome further and actually decreases the re-establishment of our normal gut flora by another 2 months.
Wow.
Oh, you should have heard the pin drop in the room when she said that bomb go down, I tell you. So we're going, what's that? Because we're always going to take with lots of probiotics. And at this stage, that's still what we need to do, right? Yeah. This is just brand new research. But prebiotic is, of course, the compost, so it's the foods we eat.
Yeah.
Prebiotic is basically, you can go and buy an inulin fibre and all that wonderful prebiotic stock and pay $50 a tub. Go right ahead.
Mm.
But if you want to do it with food, let food be our medicine, oh, guess what? We've got to eat the rainbow.
Yeah.
Because it's the rainbow foods that have the fibre. And if you look at the traditional cultures that have no chronic disease, have no mental health, they're the ones that eat up to 20 grams of fibre a day.
Yeah.
And I think on average us Australians eat about 6, less than half.
That's a big difference.
So I do take, I eat the rainbow most of the time, but I'm a busy woman, you know, so as much as I can, I do, and I do smoothies so I can just get it in quicker.
Yeah.
But I do take a fibre supplement as well.
Yeah.
Because so they're the prebiotics.
Yeah.
And you can do it, you can actually do yourself a little experiment, lovely listeners. Not that I often recommend we eat corn because corn is actually grain. Get a tin of corn, little one, and eat it and watch your poop and see how long it takes because we can't digest corn. We're not Aztecs.
Yeah.
right? We're not genetically going to get to eat corn. So we all know it comes out the other end.
Yeah.
Or you can do, you can actually do it with seeds. If you have like a paleo granola or something, it's the same thing. But corn's so distinctive. We know it's going to be, you know. Yeah. So eat this one little tiny tin of corn and watch how long it takes for you to poop out. If it's anything over than 24 hours, you have a problem. You have a problem. It should be probably 18 hours.
Yeah.
So that means you have your bowel transit time is way too slow and you're encouraging the festering growth of all those nasty bugs.
Right, okay.
So you need to up your fibre.
And just on probiotics, and that's blew me away.
Sorry about that, me too.
It just blew me away, given that recently I had a really bad cold that you helped me through with massive doses of probiotics.
Yeah, well, because we're using them to push out the bad guys.
Yeah, and it made a huge difference.
I know, and that's my secret ingredient. Mm. Just take as many as you can afford. The minute you get something, take handfuls. You're going to get the farts, you know, and you might get a bellyache because you've got lots. But basically, you are putting the good soldiers in. They are going to die,
yeah,
but you're putting them in to kill the bad guys because 80% of our immune system begins behind the gut.
Mm.
So by putting these good go soldiers in, which are transient, they're still going to make a difference to your immune system. They're still going to educate your immune system.
It blew me away.
It's like, good, eh?
The immediate difference it makes.
Like, it's great.
And I was pretty much emptying the contents of the capsules out and gargling it
water. Yes,
and it made my throat so much better.
Yeah, because you have dysbiotic bacteria in your are your tonsils?
Mm.
They are little lump of lymphatic cells.
Yeah.
So by putting the good soldiers right in there, it's going to make such a difference.
Yeah, huge difference.
Mm.
So talking about supplements,
mm-hmm.
I've often had people say to me, well, if you're eating the rainbow and you've got a great diet and all this kind of stuff, why do you need supplements?
Thank you for asking that question. Now I'm going to ask you, what do most people think is a good diet?
Well, they're probably not eating the rainbow, for one.
Well, it's really interesting because I play a little game with myself with every new patient. And look, I was just saying, so what's your diet? Is it good? Oh, yeah, it's great. I said, okay, tell me. You know, I always do diet recall.
Yes.
I say, so what do you have at breakfast? Two Weet-Bix and milk and low-fat milk and a cup of tea and honey and a glass of orange juice.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, Bindi's cringing. She knows the story, right? Morning tea. I had a muesli bar, a healthy one from the health food shop. Lunch is a whole grain sandwich with ham and cheese, and dinner is pasta and some sort of a sauce. What part of that healthy diet is healthy?
Well, it's crammed with sugar.
And wheat. Yeah. And it's not, you know, so what is a healthy diet? So, yes, if we all moved to the foothills of Mount Warning, we sat there with the Hare Krishnas, we sang mantras all day. Actually, we can't do that anymore because they're fracking down there, you know, the gas thing is.
Yes.
So we sang mantras all day. We had absolutely zero stress, or just enough stress to keep our bodies ticking along because a little bit of stress is important.
Yeah.
We picked our food on the day we were going to eat it, and it was organic, and we slaughtered our animals mindfully and carefully, and they were grown in the paddock next door, and we blessed them and said thanks. We would never require another supplement.
Mm.
Do you do that? I don't.
No.
I've told you, I live under the flight path of Amberley.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm pretty sure I've got polyaromic hydrocarbons. Oh, thunder. Polyaromatic hydrocarbons. I kind of do burn the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
I have 12-hour days. I have a FOMO when it comes to seminars. I've got to get every single one.
You are at them nearly every week.
I know.
Lately.
Oh, no, it's nearly – I've only got two more to go this year, maybe three. Sometimes I eat on the run or I skip food. And we haven't actually, probably should do a podcast on intermittent fasting. That's a good one. I probably eat too late.
Yeah.
Because I don't get home till 8 o'clock most nights.
Mm.
I'm going to be taking supplements.
Mm.
The research shows that if we are stressed, any sort of stress, we will, and we've talked about the balls in the air and stuff like that in previous podcasts, but
yeah.
Any sort of stress is equivalent in physical equivalent to us pouring boiling hot oil or water over our heads. Mm-hmm. It releases the same stressful chemicals, which require fourfold certain nutrients, our minerals, our magnesium, our manganese, our B vitamins, our C vitamins for our adrenal cortex, la, 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 la. So you would not even be able to get that, even if you had the best organic rainbow food. If you are stressed, you require fourfold that.
Yeah. And that's it, environment as well. So you could be eating the best of everything, but the environment around you
absolutely
can cause, you know, that requirement for those supplements.
Absolutely. And we got it, you oils and oils, right?
Yeah.
So don't touch the stuff on the supermarket. If I had my way, I would totally agree with the TGA, have nothing on the supermarket shelves. Everyone's screeching right now, but it's too expensive to see a naturopath. Well, you're wasting your money.
Well, it's basically just ending up with expensive wee.
Absolutely, or worse.
Yeah.
And a stressed liver.
Yeah.
Because they're so high in contaminated stuff. Fish oil is a classic.
Mm.
And I have a little tub of the fun for the non-believers of the fish oils we use. We use two different brands and I make them chew them.
Yeah.
And then I say, go home and do that to your ex-supermarket brand.
Yeah.
Oh, they're disgusting. I said, smell. They all go, oh, I don't want to smell. I said, smell. They smell nice. I said, yeah, they don't smell rancid.
Yeah.
You know, because the cheap ones are usually scrapings from that Thai fish factory floor where they've squashed out the oil. Well, it's still fish oil. That's how they get away with it. Highly oxidized and rancid. That's why they're fishy and that's why you have the fishy aftertaste.
And they've probably been around a while too.
Yes, yes. Because people say, oh, so do your fish oils have, do you get the fishy burp? And I say, well, I'm going to ask you a question. When you eat fish, do you get the fishy burp? No, because you're eating fresh fish.
Mm.
So that's the rancidity. That's the oxidized fish. They've actually did a study. 80% of fish oils are doing you more harm than good.
Huh. Wow.
So that's a really big one.
They actually advertise ones that don't, you know, have the aftertaste.
Yeah, that's because they put an extra coating around them so they don't dissolve until they get to your small intestine.
Oh, right. Great.
So if you can't bite into your fish oil capsule without barfing, you got the wrong fish oil capsule.
Oh, okay. Geez, we're having a storm.
Yes, we are. Isn't it wonderful? Bring it on.
And it's not in our gut.
Yeah, or we might be. Another dad joke.
Oh, boy. So just on supplements as well, what other kind of things would you recommend, you know, at a high quality level that we could take to help with our microbiome in our gut?
Well, fibre is the first one.
Yeah.
So taking a fibre supplement is really important.
Yeah.
If you're not having enough fibre.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking 9 to 10 handfuls of colourful vegetables a day, you're probably not having enough fibre.
And 9 to 10 handfuls, that's
a lot.
That's more than most people have in a week.
I know, right?
Or a month.
And that's what they suggest you have.
So that fibre, that's a massive amount of fibre.
And you look at what autistic kids have, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. You and, yeah, I know the amount of veggies I go through.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot.
It costs good money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I spend most of my money on food.
Yeah.
So basically you can make yourself a rule. I think I've talked about this rule before. Make yourself – is that rain?
It is rain.
As long as it's not hail. Basically make yourself a rule and go, okay, for every single meal or at least two meals, I'm going to have green today.
Yeah.
Or red today.
Yeah.
Or yellow today. And yellow doesn't include chicken nuggets and potato chips.
No. That's not a colour. Those things are not a colour.
So fibre is – or take a fibre supplement.
Mm.
And there's certain fibres on the market that use gluten. So
like
be careful.
Like Metamucil and stuff
like that. Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to actually give – can we? Oh, well, Metamucil actually probably isn't the best one because it's psyllium husk. It's okay. The Benny fibre.
Right.
The Benny fibre that everyone likes because it doesn't taste like anything, but it's actually made from gluten, from wheat. So psyllium husks are actually probably the best ones you can get.
Okay.
And that's Metamucil without the crap in it.
Yeah.
I like the soluble fibres like made from the konjacs, and that's actually got the added thing of probably having a bit of iodine.
Yeah.
Like your seaweeds and stuff. So basically, yeah, and of course the trick is with the fibre, mix and drink or you'll be eating it with a spoon. But it's actually a good little experiment to do because you can see what it does to the gut, and that's the stuff our bugs love to eat.
Wow.
Right. Chia seeds, flax seeds, all the seeds, but just make sure you pre-soak them because otherwise they'd literally get stuck if they swell in the gut.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is the stuff that our bugs love. And if you think, oh, crumbs, I just can't get it all in, invest in a good blender.
Yeah.
And don't just do fruit because fruit's got a lot of sugar. So if you're going to blend up a banana, an orange, an apple, pomegranate, la, 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 what's the green one? A kiwi fruit.
Mm.
You got the colour, but how much sugar's in there?
Yeah.
right? So make sure, I always put in, and of course I don't do the leaves because I've got a thyroid problem, so I always put a zucchini in or celery.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently celery sales have gone through the roof thanks to Medical Medium. Yeah. Apparently he really advocates it.
I know I went to the organic markets at Northy Street and people are just walking around with bunches and bunches of celery because they're juicing.
Yeah, they've watched the Medical Medium's podcasts, I think. I like celery. I think it's...
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
With a bit of hummus.
Yes, or tahini. Now, hummus, there you go. That's a great segue, Bindi.
Yes.
That is probably categorically our bug's favourite food.
Yes. I'm winning.
It's got chickpeas. That's probably the most prebiotic food you can get.
Oh, awesome.
It's got tahini, good fat.
Yep.
Garlic, bad for the bad bugs, great for the good bugs.
Garlic is not good
for for the bad bugs. It's good for the good bugs and bad for the bad bugs.
Oh, I was like, oh,
mate, what? You know. And you know what? Most kids love hummus.
Yeah.
So even the autistic kids will eat hummus. And I said, let them have it with us. Just eat the whole tub.
Yeah.
And again, buy a good blender.
Yeah.
Because it's dead easy to make.
Your own. Yeah.
Mm.
Ooh.
So there you go. You've done that.
Yeah. Yay.
Good segue.
But some other tips, because, you know, I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
That I've learned is to get the veggies in, like, because it can be tough. I've started doing things like not a quiche, but like a, what they call them, a frittata. Really, really easy. You just chuck your veg in and eggs. So you're getting your protein, you know. Super simple. Mm. And the other thing that I've started to do, which I was just telling you about, is doing these Buddha bowls.
I'm going to say have a look at them. I have to check your Instagram page out.
Yeah, check out Insta, check out, just Google Buddha bowls. The stuff in there, you can get vegan ones, you can get meat ones. Mm. They are so good and they're like a superfood bowl basically.
And soup. Mm. Let's not forget about soup. Yeah,
you can fit so many veggies in that.
Mate, soup, and the kids will eat soup.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know who made the rule that you have to peel pumpkin. You don't have to peel pumpkin.
Love the skin on pumpkin.
You don't have to peel anything. Well, I would peel it if it wasn't organic.
Yeah.
Or not washed.
Yeah.
But you don't have to peel anything.
Yeah. And roasting veggies is a good thing before you put it into a frittata or even like you can blitz it up and make a dip out of it, you know.
Roast smoked garlic dip is delicious.
Yeah. Just Google your veg, guys.
So just, you know, it doesn't have to just be peas, corn and carrots.
No.
Because that's boring as batshit, right? Yeah.
And frozen veg as well is not always bad.
No, absolutely. Like I have a patient, it's usually the chaps, the other day, and he was in a bad way mentally actually.
Yeah.
He was sent in by his wife. It was that or divorce.
Wow.
And he was a tradie. He's still a tradie. And I said, dude, you just got to get the veggies in.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you know, I get home too late and whatever. And all the veggies are wilted. I said, well, too bad. Just go to Woolies. And I didn't even suggest organic. I said, just get whatever coloured veggies you want. I just want all the colours. Go and buy stir fry mix and put it in the steamer.
Yeah.
There's no rule to say you have to stir fry it.
Yeah.
And he's doing that. And you know what? He said to me, I can't believe it, but I'm feeling better.
There you go.
I might have him on a few supplements too. But, frozen veggies, like if that's all you can get, that's still better.
Mm.
That's still better than not. And absolutely.
They were fresh when they were frozen, which is an important thing.
Yeah, and all the vitamins apparently are still in there and the phytonutrients are in there.
Mm.
So, and there's some sexy ones around these days, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot more variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to take it a step further when we look at treatments for gut health.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking earlier, I was actually talking to someone last night about this, microbial transplants.
A fecal microbial transplant, FMTs?
Yes. So basically getting a poo transplant.
Yeah, or crapshaws. That's the new one they're trying to do is crapshaws at the moment. Listen, at the present time it's only approved in this country for Clostridia. Come on, what's it called? Pseudomembranous colitis. Caused by a dysbiotic bacteria called Clostridia difficile, right? So basically, it's a life-saving operation or procedure.
Right.
And it costs a mozza.
Yeah.
And they get the poop from somebody, excuse me, who is really considered quite healthy.
Yeah.
and they transplant it with high enemas. And it's saving people's lives.
Yeah.
Right? It's basically getting them off the hospital bed and back into the workforce.
Yeah.
They want to make these crapsules to get it, a freeze-dried. Because actually the work of Christine Horton suggesting that they don't have to be alive. It's just the dead ones that can, because we're educating the microbiome. Because they're actually there, especially if you've got your appendix, because that's the little seed factory. But I'm going to postulate to you, if I haven't already, on the past. Alexandra Brewster, 55 years old, doing okay now. You know, looks pretty healthy. Eats the rainbow.
Yep.
Eats everything organic.
Yep.
Try to walk the talk, except when it's my husband's 60th birthday and I make him a sneaky sponge cake, but that's okay. So they go, okay, Alex, we'll have some of your poop. Go right ahead. So then they transfuse it or implant it or whatever they do, transplant it into someone who's really unwell.
Yeah.
Without educating any sort of lifestyle stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go back 20, 30 years. And I've told you this before, I've been brought broken.
Yeah.
So what happens if this fellow doesn't continues to eat his Slack Macs or his Hungry Jacks or his KFC or her chicken nuggets and potato gems or whatever? My concern is, does my fecal transplant then go rogue? Because they know within 2 days of changing your diet, your gut microbiota order changes.
Yeah.
2 days. And any bad food choice can last for 5 days. So, okay, they've put all the good poo back in and stuff and whatever, and this is, I think, why they do it continuously.
Right.
Because they do it once every couple of days.
Okay.
So you're getting the good. So my argument is, I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's going to be research to go, well, actually, this gut bug's pretty caused this health problem of yours in the past.
Yeah.
But we've pretty turned it around because you're now feeding the good guys.
Mm.
What happens if you give my bugs to somebody else and they don't do that?
Yeah, so effectively what you're saying is the same bugs in you might not behave in the same way as someone else.
Depending on what they feed them.
Yeah.
They can become the rogues again.
Mm. So it would be a constant process and it wouldn't just be a one-off.
And they are doing it. I think with Clostridia they have to have, oh, gosh, I've heard lots of case studies, I can't remember. But they do it quite continuously. And with the crapsules you'd have to take it.
Wow. Which leads me to, other
excuse me,
gut issues, like ulcerative colitis, which is a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
What can be done through food to help
ulcerative colitis?
Yeah, or something like that.
So what? Again, I'm going to challenge people and suggest that ulcerative colitis is not a disease but a symptom.
Yeah.
Ulcerative colitis. Let's break that down. Itis is inflammation of anything.
Yeah.
So colitis is inflammation of the colon.
Yeah.
So you've got ulcers on your colon.
Right.
From inflammation.
Yeah.
Have I answered the question?
Inflammation.
Leaky gut on steroids.
Yeah.
Ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, they don't call that IBS anymore, they call it IBD.
Yeah.
It's not irritable bowel syndrome anymore, it's irritable bowel disease. It's just the same thing on the timeline continuum.
Right.
So okay. It's treated exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So get rid of the inflammatory foods.
Yeah.
I have people come to me literally eating 5 foods. Because that's all they can eat, because they're gradually narrowing down what they're reacting to.
Yeah.
And this is where Christine Horton's saying we've got to reestablish that the environment in there.
Yeah.
So we don't have that leaky gut, because that's just ulcerative colitis and Crohn's is just – oh, Crohn's is an autoimmune condition, by the way, which is the autoimmune version of it. It's just that inflammation of that gut that we've got to get the inflammation down.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah.
The gut heals itself. And how do we do that? Well, if you put in fibre, you could go to hell in a handbasket with them.
Right, okay.
So you got to have somebody know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because you can actually feed the wrong gut bugs too with the fibre.
Okay.
So there might be ways that we have to sort of, repair first before we re-inoculate or feed.
So for things like that, you'd basically do like an elimination kind of diet to actually
we rest.
Down and then
The gut first.
Wow.
It's 4 or 5 hours, and this is probably going to be on my functional medicine exam in November. Rest, repair, re-inoculate, and I can't remember the last one.
Oh.
So basically, You know, that's first, with something like that, you'd have to rest the gut first.
Yeah.
And that's what they're generally trying to do, cutting all the food out.
Mm.
But as we cut more and more food out, because we haven't repaired the gut, you're going to react to more and more because you're going to eat them more. That's why it's important to eat the variety.
Yeah. And, you know, as we've been talking about, you know, these gut conditions and also mental conditions, I'm seeing in my mind this cycle between the head and the gut.
Yeah, well, can you imagine? You can't go out. I've had people, there's apps. Did you know there's apps on your phone that tells you where all the public toilets are in the area?
Yeah, I do know about that one.
And that's because they can't go anywhere unless they know where the toilet is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that depress you?
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of what's going pathophysiologically on in their brain?
Yep. It's just part of their life.
Yes, I know, right. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So wrapping it up, how can food be medicine for our gut and our brain?
Well, because basically it's all about our hangers-oners.
Mm.
It's all about the microbiome. So we keep our microbiome happy by eating the right foods, the prebiotic foods you were talking about. That's just the compost for our seeds that are the microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, encouraging that healing of the gut lining, basically they're going to put out the good neurotransmitters. So keep the gut happy, you're going to keep the brain happy.
Yeah.
And then, actually, pardon me, if the listeners want to take this a bit further, there is a functional psychiatrist
mm-hmm.
in the States called Dr. Hyla, H-Y-L-A, Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a whole thing on functional psychiatry and food is medicine for the brain, but it's basically food is medicine for the gut.
Yeah.
Which inadvertently gives you food is medicine for the brain, going back to that.
All right, so our five tips then to get our gut right, get our brain right.
So basically, one tip, get the gut right.
Yep.
But how do we do that? First of all, you take out offending foods.
Yep.
Get help with it because you don't want to get more and more narrow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So quick call out for Roundup. So this could be probably my first tip, is get rid of Roundup-laden foods, and that's pretty much every grain crop. If you must eat grains, eat them organic. Roundup, how Roundup works, it actually kills the gut of the plant, if you like, the soil around the roots.
Yep.
And how it does that, it interferes with a pathway that the bacteria live around there called the shikimate pathway.
Right.
And that's the very same pathway our gut bugs use to make serotonin, GABA, dopamine, boom.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of Roundup-laden grains. Right. So that's probably my first tip for mental health in the gut. Until the jury's out, because Professor Alessia Fasano reckons it's gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think the studies have been done on wheat that's been organic versus non-organic. It has been highly hybridized, aka is genetically modified over the years. Gluten in every instance causes issues in the brain.
Yeah.
And then Dr. David Perlmutter, the grain brain guy, that's a Perlmutter, David Perlmutter, grain brain. So that's actually a really, really good book to read about that.
Okay.
So getting rid of wheat,
mm-hmm.
just be aware. Don't jump from the frying pan into the fire and buy lots of gluten-free shit. Okay? So organic grain, but definitely gluten until the research suggests that it's the sprays and not the actual grain. Of course we're going to eat the rainbow because that's our prebiotic foods.
Yes.
Okay? If you don't have any gut symptoms, because, you know, a lot of people with mental health issues don't have gut symptoms, so it doesn't mean you don't have a gut issue.
Yeah.
You can start introducing more probiotic foods and stuff.
Yeah.
Like your sauerkrauts and your kombuchas. You know what I did the other day?
What did you do?
So I had the mint, lime.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I put gin in with it.
Oh, no, you did.
I so did. I have a new party drink. That was delicious.
Well, on my 6-week alcohol hiatus, I drank was kombucha.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm.
That's what I usually do actually these days.
Yeah.
You know, but a little bit of gin. And good quality protein.
Yeah.
Because those neurotransmitters have a protein base in them,
mm-hmm.
like all hormones. So we need to get the good quality protein from good pasture fed animals or good, you know, legumes and pulses and eggs.
Yes.
So they're my five tips for that.
Wow. So we've got to get our diet right. We've got to get our gut right. We've got to get our brain right.
Mm.
And it'll all just flow together.
Mm. But it's not going to happen overnight. I probably should do this disclaimer for every one of my podcasts, because when it's in functional medicine, they teach you to use something called a timeline,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really good visual for patients because it shows that you weren't having robust, great health down this end, and then whoops, all of a sudden you've leapt to poor health. It's a continuum.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go the other way either.
Yeah.
So don't think you're going to eat a carrot tomorrow and feel better, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, if it does, you're very lucky.
Again, referring to a meme, ate a carrot, still haven't lost any weight.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. I got that one straight away.
Yes. So, gut is the centre of everything, basically, for us.
The gut is the centre of the universe.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thanks so much, Bindi, for keeping me on the timeline of the continuum.
Now is your time to take action and stop being a best-kept secret. Join Hot and Healthy in Business Membership, where we empower you with the confidence, skills, and platforms to promote and grow your business. Go to hotandhealthyglobal.com to join today. Until next episode, stay hot